Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and thanks so much for being with us. I'm sitting in today for Carl Gerke, who is away. And joining us now, it's time for our regular lawn and garden feature. And if you have a question about the season and what's going on, be sure and give us a call to our midday line at 800-524-3604. 800-524-3604, or send us an email to midday@sdpb.org. midday@sdpb.org. And joining us for this segment is Rick Abramson, instructor of horticulture at Southeast Technical Institute in Sioux Falls. Rick, thanks so much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to join you. It's always good to get out there and get my voice heard, and, you know, maybe we'll get a few students out of the deal, too. That's kind of my goal here.
That's your goal. Well, it's been a cool, wet spring. What kind of implications has that had?
Well, you know, we're about, across the state, about a week or two behind where we normally would be. As you know, we had frost in a lot of areas even last week, which myself personally, I had some flowers planted out and I had to cover them up, and I was a little bit nervous because it got down to about 24, I believe, in Sioux Falls that night. And hopefully all that stuff is over with now and things can start growing. But the soil temperatures are still pretty low. And that's very important, especially for vegetable garden and getting lawns going, stuff like that.
How do you know what the soil temperature is? How do you tell?
Well, about the best way is to take a meat thermometer and just stick it in the soil about 6 inches or so, and that'll give you a pretty good idea of what the temperature is. Another indicator is the lilacs. Right now, the lilacs have just started to bloom. In Sioux Falls out east, and actually I'm out west right now, and they're a little bit further along out here, but that kind of tells us soil temperatures are about 55 degrees, which incidentally is perfect for crabgrass preventer applications. So if anybody's thinking about doing that, I would get on that between now and this next weekend.
And you need to do that when it's cool because...
Well, the soil temperatures need to be right around that 55-degree mark because crabgrass is an annual grass, and it germinates at 55 degrees, and crabgrass preventer prevents the germination of that grass. So if you wait too long, it's too late. It's not going to do anything. If you put it on too early, you're not going to have the chemical there when the seeds start to germinate.
So what is the proper soil temperature for planting your vegetable gardens?
Well, for cool season crops like cabbage, lettuce, carrots, peas, stuff like that, actually now is a great time to plant that because they'll thrive as the soil temperatures are a little bit cooler. But if you try to transplant your tomatoes or plant melons or corn, they're just going to kind of sit there until that soil temperature gets to about 70 degrees.
It won't cause harm, though?
Nope, they'll be fine. They'll just kind of real slowly start to grow. And once that soil temperature gets up there, they'll start growing a lot faster.
Hmm. Okay, and so crabgrass, if you don't hit it now to get rid of it, then you have to wait, what, until the fall?
Well, actually, you can use a post-emergence. If you miss this window of opportunity, let's say you're gone for a couple of weeks, you come back and the crabgrass has started to germinate, there is a chemical, it's called crabgrass post-emergent, and you can spray that over the lawn. It won't harm your lawn, your turf grasses, but it'll kill the crabgrass that has germinated. Other than that, the only other option then would be to wait until next spring and try to keep that any crabgrass that's continuing to grow from going to seed by mowing. And that's kind of difficult because crabgrass is kind of a, hence the name crab. It looks like a crab is kind of low growing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of yellow lawns in my neighborhood. I blame the neighbor.
You blame the neighbor?
Just kidding.
Well, I think what happened there is that, you know, last fall, things were, well, last summer actually, things were pretty dry. So when the turf grasses went dormant, they actually went into kind of a deeper dormancy and turned yellow, more yellow than typically. So we're kind of still seeing that now, and of course with the cool weather, they're not going to start to grow quite as fast either. I know if you were out here in Rapid, I know the grass has been doing a lot better here than on the eastern part of the state, but it'll come back. It needs, of course, good moisture, about an inch of water per week. That's pretty important. And these cool temperatures, actually, if it's a cool season grass, will get it going well. My personal yard is not doing real well, but I have had to mow once already this year, so it's growing.
Actually, when I said yellow, I was referring to dandelions.
Oh, well, that's a whole different ball game.
But we learned something about grass and what it needs, so.
All right. Well, dandelions, in that case, yes, dandelions are blooming. They've been blooming for a couple of weeks now. What you need to do is use a chemical that has 2,4-D in it, Weed Be Gone, or, you know, or Triplet is another chemical name. Most of those have a kind of a three chemical cocktail. It has 2,4-D, dicamba, and another chemical called MCPP. That 2,4-D and that dicamba are going to be the two that work the most on those dandelions. And they're growth regulator hormones, so they actually grow the plant to death. So after you spray or put that weed and feed down, you'll actually see those dandelions growing more fast, or faster, I should say, and that's okay. They're going to just kind of grow themselves to death. But be very careful with these chemicals over the roots of trees and shrubs, because dicamba can be taken up by trees and shrubs through the roots.
I'm looking at an article about climate change and how weeds and other pests are going to be very successful as temperature changes. Is that because we're into possibly, you know, different habits and not paying attention perhaps to soil moisture and that kind of thing when we spray?
Well, I think it's probably going to be more of an adaptability. Weeds and pests are very adaptable as compared to the plants we don't consider to be weeds. You know, the definition of a weed is just a plant that's not in a place you want it. But those turf grasses, those vegetables, those trees and shrubs that we desire aren't as adaptable as the weeds are. So as climate changes, and we have actually witnessed some of this, if you look back in some old articles from about 5 years ago or so, the Arbor Day Foundation put out a new zone map. Personally, I think they're full of something, because it puts Sioux Falls and Rapid at about a zone 6 or so, and Fargo, North Dakota, where I'm from, at about a zone 5, which is preposterous. But in all reality, if climate change is taking place and things are warming up, we're going to see a shift of those zones, which means we can plant different plants. Unfortunately, though, the plants we desire, the cultivars we desire, are more adaptable to the area they're developed in. So we're not going to see the shift as much in those as we will in the weeds and the pests.
I am wondering if we need to make, if the prediction is coming for a kind of a cool, wet summer, do we need to make different choices now and pay attention to that, or do we just kind of put out what we normally put out and take our chances?
Well, obviously, if we're looking at any type of frost between now and September 15th or so, you know, September 15th is kind of the statewide first frost of the fall date. If we were to have a frost in, let's say, late August, you know, we're going to lose all of our tomatoes and several other warm season crops that typically wouldn't have produced a whole lot of fruit for us yet until that first couple of weeks of September. That being said, we can also expect to have better cropping or better plants or better yield on those cool season crops. So if it's a cool, wet summer, you know, maybe plan on planting more of those cool crops like the leafy vegetables, the peas, beans, stuff like that, that can withstand that a little bit more. And for those tomatoes, just know that you're not going to have, 100 bushels of tomatoes off of four or five plants. You'll still get some, but you just won't get the yield that you've had on a hot summer.
Well, it just kind of seems like this is the first nice week we've seen. What should we do first? For somebody who's not really that gifted in gardening, what should we do first?
Well, I guess if somebody was looking at doing a vegetable garden, and they'd never had a vegetable garden before, and they had their backyard, and they're going to start a new garden, I would rototill that up, and I would add lots of organic matter. Mm-hmm. Organic matter can be compost, manure, peat that you can buy in the bales from any garden center or any big box store. Add lots of that, and when I say lots, I'm saying 6 or 7 to 8 inches on top. Rototill that in real well, because that organic matter is the best thing you can do to build soils, and the soils are the foundation of any plant growth. So if you don't have soils that are going to be conducive to a good garden, you're just not going to have a good garden.
Okay. Well, Rick, I want to thank you. We are out of time, and thank you so much for being on the program today.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, and I do appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Rick Abramson is an instructor of horticulture at Southeast Technical Institute in Sioux Falls. I also want to thank Bernie Hunhoff with South Dakota Magazine, Brenda Dreyer, Mike Hendrickson, and U.S. Senator John Thune for being on the program today. Also, special thanks to Steve Zwemke, Steve Munson, Gary Ellenbolt, Owen DeYoung, and Chris Loffrey for their assistance with the program as well. Thanks for joining us on Midday. We'll be back tomorrow.